This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now let's go say hey to Big D Led. It's our man, Dear Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC. Joins us from Death Valley, man. Did you touch Howard's Rock?
I didn't come down the hill today, but I've seen that happen a lot of times over the years.
D-Led, we signed a couple of offensive guards. I want to get your assessment this week of the signings of Jamon Brown and James Carpenter and what this means for our offensive line moving forward.
Yeah, definite upgrades, Carl, no question about it. Both guys are serviceable or better NFL linemen. They've combined to play 135 games. You know, they do have some downsides, both of them. Carpenter played in the outside zone scheme in Seattle, but not very well. So they both look like more power blockers than the scheme fit that we were looking for. So that's signaling some change among our offensive lines. And Jamon had a tough time in L.A. or with the Rams, but kind of stabilized things up there in New York. He's a mauler in the run game, whereas his pass protection has been an issue at times. But still definite upgrades, with 26-year-old and 30-year-old guys to move forward with. I still don't think it pulls you off a lineman if somebody really, really good is there at 14.
And that's the question, D. We felt that, you know, at some point, especially with all those contracts we're going to have to handle down the road on the defensive side with Debo and then later on Keanu Neal, having an inexpensive offensive lineman under contract would be nice as a draft pick.
Yeah, no question about it. It'd be great if he could play.
Are they just scared away from it? They're just going to continue to do it this way through free agency?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked. The drafting thing hasn't worked. But this can't be the long, long-term fix. Jake's worked. They got him. He's the only draft pick on that line. So. I guess when they're up high enough, they're okay with it. But it's three linemen, the Florida kid, Cody Ford out at Oklahoma, and Jonah Williams. When do they go? You know, which one of them do you like? Do you like them enough to take them at 14? Can they swing? Can they play two spots for you right away? So they're going to do their homework on that, and we'll see how they go.
Now, D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us, guys, Falcons beat writer, and he is at Clemson's Pro Day today, and obviously there are a few guys there that we might be interested in. Christian Wilkins, obviously Dexter Lawrence, Cleland Farrell. What did you see and what did you hear about these guys in their Pro Day today?
Lawrence had talked to the Falcons and Austin Bryant, the one in and the one defensive tackle, the big defensive tackle. Christian Wilkins told me he has not talked to him at the combine or here or had anything set up for him. And Cleland Farrell, the real articulate young man who re-aggravated a toe and didn't work out today. So it wasn't a really good, productive pro day in regards to seeing anybody do much of anything. Just some of the lower level guys working drills and stuff like that. Trayvon Mullen, the cornerback, is also in that group. And his folks said the Falcons are looking at him too pretty heavily. So certainly the Falcons have a history of taking Clemson guys.
Right.
Interesting that they haven't talked to Christian Wilkins, but I thought he'd be in their wheelhouse at 14. And Lawrence is the bigger of the kids up there at 320, 340, some people have him at. That'd be a big old plug to put right next to Grady if he could you get over the fact that he has the PED suspension.
Right. Dexter Lawrence, he goes a little bit higher in the draft, or I should say lower in the draft, around like 25 and higher. Christian Wilkins, there's some mock drafts where we get him, but D-Led just said they haven't talked to the man. Ed Oliver sounds like the guy you think Dan Quinn's salivating over?
Yeah, but he's gone. He's long gone. He's not going to make it to 14. He won't make it past Detroit. So unless they're going to trade up to go get him, you know, I don't see Ed Oliver getting to the Falcons.
It is D. Orlando Ledbetter. D, when we talk about, you know, skill positions, we've had a couple of guys on our program already who said, listen, I don't know if I'd take either one of these corners. We're talking about Greedy Williams or DeAndre Baker out of Georgia in the first round. Do you disagree with that? Because we know that the Falcons also are in need of another corner.
Well, they got to take one in the first round. There's a school of thought that said that because the top three corners after them, they all drop off. And the other one is Trayvon Mullen, who is Lamar Jackson's cousin. Mm-hmm. Up here at Clemson, ran really, really fast. He's bigger than Baker. Ran a 4.47. Baker ran that 4.5 something. You know, they don't like his work ethic is what we're hearing. And you know, Greedy Williams won't tackle anybody. So, if you know, now we kind of got to switch over to Mullen and do some homework on him to see if he's worthy of 14. You know, the Falcons got to get a corner because, you know, they cut their top two of their top three corners. So, and there's not going to be one in the second or the third round that's NFL ready unless their scouts have done a really good job of finding them.
It's the AJC's Dear Orlando Ledbetter guys live on the WadeFord.com hotline from up at Clemson's Pro Day. So, again, if you just missed what D said, there's not great rankings or numbers as we talked to the scouts about the corners. And they didn't go and get a corner in free agency, D, because that market was kind of either expensive and then it kind of dropped down too. So we're kind of forced to go pick a guy at some point in this draft as a corner.
And the good thing, Mike, is that one of my good agent friends today said, you know, that there are 16 defensive tackles with first-round grades. So you can get the D tackle later.
Okay.
It might not be Dexter Lawrence, but there's somebody, you know, with a first-round grade you can get at 14 in the second round. Maybe not in the third, but you certainly can go with your major need at 14 and come back to the tackle in the second round, maybe the third. And we saw that last year where they went, surprised us, went wide receiver early, right, and then they come back to the tackle in the third with Deidre Sanat. They can kind of do that again here this year, go corner in the first and come back to tackle later.
D, are there any updates? I see, you know, the post by Keanu Neal and some of the other guys that are working to get back. Any updates on their physicality as far as, you know, where they're at in their rehab?
Yeah, Coach Quinn gave it to us at the combine, and we kind of got buried it all in all that stuff. I should just pulled it out and made an injury report, but I can go down the list for you.
Okay.
They're not expecting anybody back before training camp. Keanu's ahead of the game. They're being real slow with Ricardo because you've seen where some guys come back from that and blow the other one.
Right.
You know, Croy didn't. Spoon did. Those are the two major ones. Devontae's running from the sports hernia surgery. And Brandon Fusco is not running yet because that's a broken ankle. You got to wait for that to heal first, and then you start the conditioning part of it. And, you know, those are the four I remember off my head. If there's anybody else, I know I got it. Hmm. It's just all in that combine stuff, and we need to pull it in. They don't even care about the off-season program for any of these guys. They want them back by training camp for sure and by the beginning of the season secondarily.
All right, D, it's Dear Orlando Ledbetter than the AJC breaking it down for us here. What about a guy like Bruce Irvin? Put up some decent numbers. I mean, could they afford him? I mean, he's not gone anywhere yet.
Yeah, they're a little tight. They told me they wanted him at the combine, but it was kind of a wait-and-see type of deal. Joe Siegel, his agent, you know, had Michael Vick. He usually gives us a heads-up if something's going on, but you can read the numbers right now and see they don't have any money for him. But, you know, they can get Julio done and open up a spot for Bruce, you know, at a $6, $7 million spot. I don't know if he thought he was going to get the 10-14 spot. That's usually what the case is. The guys are overvaluing themselves. But at this point, after the money's gone and all of the $50 million deals are done, then the guys have to sink into reality. And the $6, $7 million deal might be pretty good as opposed to the zero deal sitting at home with us watching it.
D, it's official now, and I say that because the Falcons said they were going to do it, and yesterday Vic Beasley's contract became fully guaranteed, the 12.8. How, in your opinion, do you think Dan Quinn goes about getting him to where he wants him. And that's the thing. We want him at a certain level. You might want him at a certain level. But mm-hmm. Dan Quinn, how does he go about this? And does he incorporate maybe the services of some other folks, or is it just DQ all about it?
Well, DQ's name doesn't lie here. This will be his third defensive line coach. Cox couldn't get it. Brian Young couldn't get it. And Coach Quinn's taking this as a special project on his own. Mm-hmm. And he told us at the combine, we wrote about a couple weeks ago, he said, Vic's probably not going to be real happy with me, but we're getting ready to get after it, you know. And I think him being a former D-line coach, you know, trained Jason Taylor, went to the Hall of Fame, you know, all those guys out in San Francisco he worked with, you know, Vic can't really buck him. You know, if he tell him to do a double move, he better do it. And, you know, taking over Vic, taking over the defense, you know, coach knows that. He knows what's going on here. He's got to win. He's got to get something out of Vic, you know, to warrant them staying with him and paying him this $12.8 million. So, you know, Coach Quinn's going to earn his money this year, basically, is what it amounts to. And he knows it. He told us that, so I'm sure he told it to Vic, too.
All right, D, just to review, we're going to get a little more physical with the offensive line. Obviously, between Dirk Cutter, Mike Mularkey, and the size of these dudes that we're picking up, I mean, kind of like what the Eagles do, a combination, as you said earlier, like some zone and some inside and some real good old-fashioned just knocking guys off the ball?
Oh, yeah, I think third and run is not going to be a pass play anymore.
Inside joke, but not really. Mm-hmm. D-Led, we appreciate you as always, man, and we're looking forward to seeing what you write about these Clemson guys and their pro workouts. It's pro day today down there. D, thanks so much.
Thanks, Colin, Mike. Take care. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.